In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela chapter 7,
you heard it or not? Uttama Krishna?
I heard it from?
Disciple of Amrita.
No, from. A proper disciple.
Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you know, that Prabhupada told him that many of his disciples will go back to the heavenly planets.
I have not heard of that. Prabhupada told him many of his disciples will go, means Prabhupada disciples.
Yeah.
I have heard something like that, that Prabhupada said many of my disciples want to go to heavenly planets.
Okay. Yeah, what I heard is that he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that. That's why I want to check with you. That, okay. It was the same thing, it must have got transformed into a different form. That's all.
Yeah. Look.
Okay.
Adilila chapter 7, text 91. According to the revealed scriptures, if a spiritual master can convert even one soul into a perfectly pure devotee, his mission in life is fulfilled. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasthagar always used to say, even at the expense of all the properties, temples and mathas that I have, if I could convert even one person into a pure devotee, my mission would be fulfilled. Keep in mind, this pure devotee is perfectly pure devotee. It is very difficult, however, to understand the signs of Krishna, what to speak of developing love of God. So again, it's clear, this pure devotee is a perfect pure devotee. Therefore, if by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual master disciple attains the standard of pure devotional service, spiritual master is very happy. This is also referring to pure devotional service in perfection, because that is the context. Look at the context. Bala hoila paile tumi parama purushartha tomar premete ami hoilang kritartha. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of God. Thus you have pleased me very much and I am very much obliged to you. So this is pure devotional service in the state
perfection.
Of perfection. The spiritual master is not actually happy if the disciple brings him money. But when he sees that the disciple is following the regulated principles and advancing in spiritual life, he is very glad and feels obliged to such an advanced disciple. So this is the same thing that Prabhupada is bringing about in introduction,
okay.
Bhagavad Gita introduction. Okay. This is where we are. Arjuna was in a relationship with the Lord as friend. Of course, there is a gulf of difference between this friendship and the friendship found in the material world. This is transcendental friendship, which cannot be had by everyone. Of course, everyone has a particular relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is evoked by the perfection of devotional service. But in the present status of our life, not only have we forgotten the Supreme Lord, but we have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Every living being, out of the many, many billions and trillions of living beings, has a particular relationship with the Lord eternally. That is called Swarupa. So this lends support to the idea that Swarupa is eternal and intrinsic. By the process of devotional service, one can revive that Swarupa, and that stage is called Swarupa Siddhi, perfection of one's constitutional position.
So that leads to the confusion. Whatever you call, the dilemma is, let's say, by residence of Vaikuntha. Okay? Is it a Swarupa that serving in Aishwarya? It may not be their Swarupa.
It may not be their Swarupa. Their Swarupa may be to serve the Lord elsewhere. It may be one Swarupa to serve the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha also.
It may not be Swarupa, right? Because of your desire, not exactly. No?
What?
Among the classification.
No, some residents of Vaikuntha are serving Lord Narayana. Simply out of exclusive love.
That love, that category is Swarup. That is a Swarupa.
That is Swarup.
Swarup can be in Vaikuntha or it could be in Goloka, wherever it is.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Like Hanuman.
But then you necessarily conclude that below two categories are not Swarupa then now.
They have not yet attained their Swarupa. They have not attained their Swarupa fully.
Yeah, even if they are Vaikuntha, they have not attained their Swarupa.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I mean, is it, or are we just over more intelligent. Is it correct or not?
It appears. So Arjuna was a devotee and he was in touch with the Supreme Lord in friendship. So anyway, this is Prabhupada's conclusion, that one needs to be a perfect, pure devotee of Krishna in order to understand Bhagavad Gita correctly. That is his point. Bhaktosime sakha jeti.
So perfect, pure devotee.
One has to be a perfect, pure devotee in order to understand Bhagavad Gita correctly. And Arjuna was in that status.
So Arjuna is a devotee. Okay. So Rupa Siddhi is essential.
He's the proper candidate for understanding Bhagavad Gita.
So Rupa Siddhi, what was that
technique? Yeah. Okay. The reason is because how he accepted Bhagavad Gita is the correct way of accepting, and that is how anybody who attains Rupa Siddhi will also accept.
Yeah.
How Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter, Arjuna Vacha. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam, Vibhum, Ahustvam, Rashaya, Sarve, Devarshir, Naradas, Tatha, Asito, Devalo, Vyasa, Swayam, Chaiva, Bravishi, Me, Sarvameta, Dhritam, Manye, Yanmam, Vadasi, Keshava, Nahite, Bhagavan, Vyaktim, Vitur, Deva, Nadana, Vah. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Personality of God, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of God, Arjuna accepted Krishna as Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Every living being is Brahman, but the Supreme Living Being or the Supreme Personality of God is the Supreme Brahman. Paramdhama means that he is the supreme rest or abode of everything. Pavitra means that he is pure, untainted by material contamination. Purusha means that he is the supreme enjoyer. Shashvatam, original, Divyam, transcendental, Adidevam, the supreme personality of God, Ajam, the unborn, and Vibhum, the greatest. Now one may think that Krishna was the friend of Arjuna. Now one may think that because Krishna was the friend of Arjuna, Arjuna was telling him all this by way of flattery. But Arjuna, just to drive out this kind of doubt from the minds of the readers of Bhagavad Gita, substantiates these praises in the next verse when he says that Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only by himself, but by authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasadeva. These are great personalities who distribute the Vedic knowledge as it is accepted by all acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. This is Arjuna's conclusion. See, if you look at this series of verses, from Param Brahma up to Swayam Chaiva Pravishi Me, after that there is an invisible therefore. That is what Prabhupada has brought out here. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. Sarvameta dhritam manye. I accept everything you say to be true. Arjuna also says that the personality of the Lord is very difficult to understand. Nahite bhagavan vyaktim viduhu devaha nadanavaha. Your vyakti, your personality is very difficult to understand. Is very difficult to understand means very difficult to understand it. The spiritual nature of his personality, and that he cannot be known even by the great demigods. This means that the Lord cannot even be known by personalities greater than human beings. How can a human being understand Lord Shri Krishna without becoming his devotee? The other day I saw an interesting quote from Haribhakti Vilas, which is quoting from 6th canto. In that section where is the Vritrasura? Look at this. Shri Parikshit Vacha 6.14.1. rajastamah subhavasya brahman vritrasya papmana narayane bhagavati katham asid dridhamatihi. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with the modes of passion and ignorance. How then could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana? Devanam Shuddhasattvanam Rishinam cha Amalatmanam Bhaktir Mukundacharane na Prayena Upajayate. Demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints cleansed of the dirt of material enjoyment hardly ever render pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Mukunda. This also explains why therefore they cannot understand Krishna, because unless you render pure devotion service to the Supreme Lord, you are not allowed to understand.
But without bhakti, you cannot even come to the stage of goodness, right? But it's minimal.
Yeah. This is, see, look at that. Devanam Shuddha Sattvanam, whose minds are purified, and Rishis, whose existence is pure. Even for them, almost always, they don't develop bhakti to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. Even
why
then,
is that? Because it has been given.
It's material, it is spiritual. Pure devotional service is spiritual, it has to be given. This means, and therefore that explains why they cannot understand Krishna. We also, Brahmabhutta Prasannatmana, Shojitana, Agangshati, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhakti Milavate Param. And then only he says, Bhaktiya Mam Vijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvata Tato Mam Tattvata Gyatva Vishade Tadanantara. Unless one becomes a Brahmabhutta Prasannatma, Nashochiti Nakakshati, Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, then only you will get Mad Bhakti Milavate Param. And only then, with that that kind of spiritual bhakti only, one will understand one can understand Krishna. Bhaktiya Mam Vijanati
means bhakti performed in the liberated stage. Only then you can understand Supreme Lord.
Tattvataha.
So bhakti performed in this liberated stage is what?
Nirguna bhakti. It is transcendental bhakti.
Then only take the residence of Vaikuntha. They also reach the liberated stage, no?
Residents of Vaikuntha are, they have reached the liberated stage.
So, then the bhakti performed by them is still not nirguna, right? Is it nirguna or
must be nirguna.
Yeah, because
they don't desire anything material. You cannot desire Vishaya. You cannot desire physical sense objects. You can only desire liberation and love of God.
In that sense, liberation is not so bad as material desire.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's within, it is like very technically, you don't know what, it's not spiritual, at the same time, it is not material.
It is spiritual, but there is something more than spiritual. Something like that. So, how can a human being understand Lord Shri Krishna without becoming his devotee? Therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in a spirit of devotion. Now, the next sentence explains what is the meaning of a spirit of devotion. One should not think that he is equal to Krishna, nor should he think that Krishna is an ordinary personality or even a very great personality. Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, according to the statements of Bhagavad Gita or the statements of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should at least theoretically accept Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with that submissive spirit, we can understand the Bhagavad Gita. So it is this acceptance of Shri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead that is called the submissive spirit. That is called submissive spirit. That is called the spirit of devotion. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita because it is a great mystery. Of course, this is a theory of special access. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescence of material existence. Every man is in difficulty in so many ways. As Arjuna also was in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna surrendered unto Shri Krishna, and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxieties because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Our existence is eternal. But somehow or other, we are put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist. Out of so many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position as to what they are, why they are put into this awkward position, and so on. Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, and unless he realizes that he doesn't want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not considered to be a perfect human being. Humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind. In the Brahma Sutra, this inquiry is called Brahma Jigyasa. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless he inquires about the nature of the Absolute. That is from Bhagavatam. Parabhavastavada bodhajato yavarna jigyasata atmatattvam yavat kriyastavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandhaha. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. 5.5.5. Be it sinful or pious, karma is its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering, or where they came from, and where they shall go after death, are proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. So this is a second feature, second requirement. They should be mumukshus. They should be desiring.
What is the first one?
The first one is they should have the submissive attitude.
Of Krishna, of Arjuna. Yes.
They should have that submissive attitude. Second is they should inquire about a permanent solution to all problems of material existence. The sincere student should also have a firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a student was Arjuna. So Arjuna not only accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he also had these questions here. Now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like that of the demigods in heaven. Okay. So he understands that wherever in material existence I will have a problem. So he has used his current problem in Kurukshetra as a sample of all the problems in material existence. Give me a solution to all of them. So Arjuna exhibits both of them. Lord Krishna descends specifically to re-establish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose. Even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position, and for him this Bhagavad Gita is spoken. So when they awaken means they ask these questions. Amongst many people who ask these questions, there may be one who accepts the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, which is Krishna is the Supreme Authority, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavad Gita is actually meant for such a person. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigress of nescience. Tigress of Nescience, this is directly from Baladeva Vidyabhushana. But the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna his devotee. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance. But Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life, so that the Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. So that is also taken from Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushan. The subject of the Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. First of all, the science of God is explained, and then the constitutional position of the living entities, jivas. There is Ishvara, which means a controller, and there are jivas, the living entities which are controlled. If a living entity says that he is not controlled but that he is free, then he is insane. The living being is controlled in every respect, at least in his conditioned life. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with the Ishvara, the supreme controller, and the jivas, the controlled living entities. Prakriti, material nature, and time, the duration of existence of the whole universe or the manifestation of material nature, and karma activity are also discussed. The cosmic manifestation is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita, we must learn what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how it is controlled by time, and what the activities of the living entities are. Out of these five basic subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead or Krishna or Brahman or the Supreme Controller or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, is the greatest of all. The living entities are in quality like the Supreme Controller. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the directions of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Krishna says, Mayadhyakshana Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction. When we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature, we should know that behind this cosmic manifestation there is a controller. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or other animal pulling it, but a sane man knows the nature of the automobile's engineering arrangement. He always knows that behind the machinery there is a man, a driver. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver under whose direction everything is working. Now the jivas or the living entities have been accepted by the Lord, as we will note in the later chapters, as his parts and parcels. Amai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. A particle of gold is also gold, a drop of water from the ocean is also salty, and similarly we the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller Ishvara or Bhagavan, Lord Shri Krishna, have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in minute quantity, because we are minute Ishvaras, subordinate Ishvaras. We are trying to control nature, as presently we are trying to control space or planets. And this tendency to control is there because it is in Krishna. But although we have a tendency to lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the supreme controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. What is material nature? This is also explained in Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. The living entity is explained as a superior prakriti. Prakriti is always under control, whether inferior or superior. Prakriti is female and she is controlled by the Lord, just as the activities of a wife are controlled by the husband. Prakriti is always subordinate, predominated by the Lord, who is the predominator. The living entities and material nature are both predominated, controlled by the Supreme Lord. According to the Gita, the living entities, although parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are to be considered Prakriti. This is clearly mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Apareya mitastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam. This material nature is my inferior Prakriti. But beyond this is another Prakriti, jiva bhutam, the living entity. Material nature itself is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Above these modes there is eternal time, and by a combination of these three of these modes of nature, and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. These activities are being carried out from time immemorial, and we are suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. For instance, suppose I am a businessman and I have worked very hard with intelligence and I have amassed a great bank balance. Then I am an enjoyer. But then say I have lost all my money in business, then I am a sufferer. Similarly, in every field of life, we enjoy the results of our work or we suffer the results. This is called karma. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, Jiva, the living entity, Prakriti, nature, Kala, eternal time, and karma, activity, are all explained in Bhagavad Gita. Out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, material nature, and time are eternal. The manifestation of Prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. Some philosophers say that the manifestation of material nature is false, but according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, this is not so. The manifestation of the world is not accepted as false. It is accepted as real, but temporary. It is likened unto a cloud which moves across the sky, or the coming of the rainy season which nourishes grains. As soon as the rainy season is over and as soon as the cloud goes away, all the crops which were nourished by the rain dry up. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval, stays for a while and then disappears. Such are the workings of Prakriti. But this cycle is working eternally. Therefore, Prakriti is eternal. It is not false. The Lord refers to this as my Prakriti. So the idea is that it is not false. In Krishna book, Prabhupada says false means like flower in the sky or the horn of a rabbit. That is false. So material nature is not false like that, but it is temporary. You can say metaphorically you can call it false, because it doesn't serve the purpose that you want to use it for. This material nature is the separated energy of the Supreme Lord, and similarly the living entities are also the energy of the Supreme Lord, although they are not separated but eternally related.
Here is the place he says eternally related, but he also gives the example of spark out of the fire.
No, but he is eternally related. The Lord has an intrinsic relationship with the living entities. The Lord does not have an intrinsic relationship with Prakriti. Prakriti only comes into the picture for rectifying those living entities who have turned away from the Lord. Otherwise, there is no direct. That's why in the spiritual world there is no Prakriti.
That's why it is separated.
That's why it's separated. So the Lord, the living entity, material nature, and time are all interrelated and are all eternal. However, the other item, karma, is not eternal. The effects of karma may be very old indeed. We are suffering or enjoying the results of our activities from time immemorial. But we can change the results of our karma or our activity, and this change depends on the perfection of our knowledge. We are engaged in various activities. Undoubtedly, we do not know what sort of activities we should adopt to gain relief from the actions and reactions of all these activities. But this is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So we do not know. This is the perfection of knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, then you will engage in the right type of activity. The position of Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is that of Supreme Consciousness. The Jivas, or the living entities being parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also conscious. Both the living entity and material nature are explained as Prakriti, the energy of the Supreme Lord, but one of the two, the Jiva, is conscious. The other Prakriti is not conscious. That is the difference. Therefore, the Jiva Prakriti is called superior, because the Jiva has consciousness which is similar to the Lord's. The Lord's is Supreme Consciousness, however, and one should not claim that the Jiva, the living entity, is also supremely conscious. The living being cannot be supremely conscious at any stage of his perfection, and the theory that he can be so is a misleading theory. The living entity can become fully conscious, but he cannot become as fully conscious as the Supreme Lord. That is why Prabhupada is careful. He says, has consciousness which is similar to the Lord's. Because the Supreme Lord has infinite, his domain of consciousness, awareness is infinite. The living entity does not have that at any stage of his perfection. And the theory that he can be so is a misleading theory. Conscious he may be, but he's not perfectly or supremely conscious. Meaning, under all circumstances, even in the highest liberated stage, in full love of God, and also, he can never become supremely conscious. The distinction between the Jiva and the Ishvara will be explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kshetrajna, conscious, as is the living being. But the living being is conscious of his particular body, whereas the Lord is conscious of all bodies. So the Supreme Lord is Sarva Kshetrajna, whereas the living entity is Eka Kshetrajna. because he lives in the heart of every living being, he is conscious of the psychic movements of the particular jivas. We should not forget this. It is also explained that the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is living in everyone's heart as Ishwara, as a controller, and that is giving directions for the living entity to act as he desires. This is Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Bhramayan Sarvabhutani. He is giving directions for the living entity to act as he desires. The living entity forgets. Now why does he do it? That he explains now. The living entity forgets what to do. First of all, he makes a determination to act in a certain way. And then he is entangled in the actions and reactions of his own karma. After giving up one type of body, he enters another type of body as we take off and put on clothes. As the soul thus migrates, he suffers the actions and reactions of his past activities. So because of that, he forgets what to do. He forgets what to do. These activities can be changed when the living being is in the mode of goodness, insanity, and understands what sort of activities he should adopt. If he does so, then all the actions and reactions of his past activities can be changed. Consequently, karma is not eternal. So because karmic reactions can be destroyed, therefore karma is said to be non-eternal. Therefore we stated that of the five items, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, time and karma, four are eternal, whereas karma is not eternal. The Supreme Conscious Ishvara is similar to the living entity in this way. Both the consciousness of the Lord and that of the living entity are transcendental. It is not that consciousness is generated by the association of matter. That is a mistaken idea. The theory that consciousness develops under certain circumstances of material combination is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. Consciousness may be pervertedly reflected by the covering of material circumstances. Just as light reflected through colored glass may appear to be a certain color, but the consciousness of the Lord is not materially affected. Okay, this is what it means. Just like when there is light which is passing through colored glass, externally it comes out in that color. The conditioned souls, their consciousness is also like that. But the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, even though he is within the same body as the conditioned soul, his consciousness is not materially affected like that. Lord Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, when he descends into the material universe, his consciousness is not materially affected. If he were so affected, he would be unfit to speak on transcendental matters as he does in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, why does he quote this, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti? This is to indicate that Prakriti is functioning under his supervision. So that is proof that Prakriti does not influence him. One cannot say anything about the transcendental world without being free from materially contaminated consciousness. So the Lord is not materially contaminated. Our consciousness at the present moment, however, is materially contaminated. The Bhagavad Gita teaches that we have to purify this materially contaminated consciousness. In pure consciousness, our actions will be dovetailed to the will of Ishvara, and that will make us happy. It is not that we have to cease all activities. Rather, our activities are to be purified, and purified activities are called bhakti. Activities in bhakti appear to be like ordinary activities, but they are not contaminated. An ignorant person may see that a devotee is acting or working like an ordinary man, but such a person with a poor fund of knowledge does not know that the activities of the devotee or of the Lord are not contaminated by impure consciousness or matter. We are talking about perfectly pure devotees. They are transcendental to the three modes of nature. We should know, however, that at this point our consciousness is contaminated. When we are materially contaminated, we are called conditioned. False consciousness is exhibited under the impression that I am a product of material nature. This is called false ego. One who is absorbed in the thought of bodily conceptions cannot understand this situation. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to liberate one from the bodily conception of life, and Arjuna put himself in this position in order to receive this information from the Lord. One must become free from the bodily conception of life. That is the preliminary activity for the transcendentalist. One who wants to become free, who wants to become liberated, but first of all learn that he is not this material body. Mukti or liberation means freedom from material consciousness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, the definition of liberation is given. Mukti hitpanyatharupam swarupena vyavastiti. Mukti means liberation from the contaminated consciousness of this material world and situation in pure consciousness. All the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are intended to awaken this pure consciousness, and therefore we find at the last stage of the Gita's instructions that Krishna is asking Arjuna whether he is now in purified consciousness. कच्चित् अज्ञान समूह प्रणष्टस्ते धनंजय और योर इग्नोरेंस एंड इल्यूशंस नाउ डिस्पेल 18.72 दिस इज द सेम एज व्हाट ही इज सेइंग हियर इन द इंट्रोडक्शन कृष्णा इज आस्किंग अर्जुना वेदर ही इज नाउ इन प्यूरिफाइड कॉन्शियसनेस प्यूरिफाइड कॉन्शियसनेस मीन्स एक्टिंग इन अकॉर्डेंस विद द इंस्ट्रक्शंस ऑफ द लॉर्ड अर्जुना सेज दिस यस आई एम इन प्यूरिफाइड कॉन्शियसनेस My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. That means his consciousness is now pure. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. So this is called pure consciousness. 18.73. So that is why Prabhupada is saying, purified consciousness means acting in accordance with the instructions of the Lord. This is the whole sum and substance of purified consciousness. Consciousness is already there. Because we are part and parcel of the Lord, but for us there is the affinity of being affected by the inferior modes. But the Lord being the Supreme is never affected. That is the difference between the Supreme Lord and the small individual souls. So the individual souls, they can come under Maya, but the Supreme Lord will never come under Maya. What is this consciousness? This consciousness is I am. Then what am I? In contaminated consciousness, I am means I am the Lord of all I survey. I am the enjoyer. The world revolves because every living being thinks that he is the Lord and creator of the material world. Material consciousness has two psychic divisions. One is that I am the creator, and the other is that I am the enjoyer. So this is what, this is all coming originally from Baladeva Vidya Bhushma Dhruva. One is Karta, the other is Bhokta.
Karta, but doer, right?
Doer. Here Prabhupada says creator. Creator is in the same sense as the doer. But actually the Supreme Lord is both the creator and the enjoyer. And the living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is neither the creator nor the enjoyer, but a cooperator.
What is it? Bhokta and what is it? What's
Karta, Bhokta.
Bhokta or experiencer? What was it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the experiencer.
Not the enjoyer,
is it? No, you can... That is why he is saying that material... see, material consciousness has two psychic divisions. One is that I am the creator, and the other is that I am the enjoyer. This is not reality. In reality, Krishna is the only enjoyer.
No, but Karta and Bhokta.
That is why Baladeva Vidya Bhushan has said that Bhoktrutvam Anubhavitrutvam. In reality, that Bhoktrutva refers to simply being an experiencer. That's all. That is the reality.
Okay.
They're not enjoyers. The living entities are not enjoyers. Supreme Lord is the only enjoyer.
Okay. So that is what I'm trying to understand. Okay. So then what is that? What is the creatorship there? Karta. That is
everything. Yeah. Krishna himself does things, no?
We also do, no? We also karta, right?
No, but we think that we are solely responsible for our contribution. There are five causes.
Yeah.
Daivam, Chaivatra, Panchamam. The final one is the Supreme Lord. But we think we alone are responsible. So we are not independent doers. But actually the Supreme Lord is both the creator and the enjoyer, and the living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is neither the creator nor the enjoyer, but a cooperator. Notice this concept of cooperator. It's a cooperator. He is the created and the enjoyed. For instance, a part of a machine cooperates with the whole machine. A part of the body cooperates with the whole body. The hands, legs, eyes and so on are all parts of the body, but they are not actually the enjoyers. The stomach is the enjoyer. The legs move, the hands supply food, the teeth chew, and all parts of the body are engaged in satisfying the stomach. Because the stomach is the principal factor that nourishes the body's organization. Therefore, everything is given to the stomach. One nourishes the tree by watering its root, and one nourishes the body by feeding the stomach. For if the body is to be kept in a healthy state, then the parts of the body must cooperate to feed the stomach. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer and the creator, and we as subordinate living beings are meant to cooperate to satisfy Him. This cooperation will actually help us, just as food taken by the stomach will help all other parts of the body. If the fingers of the hand think that they should take the food themselves instead of giving it to the stomach, then they will be frustrated. The central figure of creation and of enjoyment is the Supreme Lord, and the living entities are cooperators. By cooperation they enjoy. The relation is also like that of the master and the servant. So this concept of cooperation is because in cooperation, the one who is cooperating also experiences the benefit of that activity. Whereas if he had not explained the concept of cooperation, if he had only brought in the concept of master-servant, then in the modern world people will not understand. The relationship is, and by the way, this example of stomach and this tree, all of that is directly taken from Bhagavatam. It is this. I think it's in 4th canto. Yes, yathātaror mūlan śecenin tarpyanti tat skandha bhujopachākāh pranopahāra cethendriyānam tathaiva sarvārshanam achyutajya. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotion service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. 431.14. The relation is also like that of a master and of the master and the servant. If the master is fully satisfied, then the servant is satisfied. We are talking of master and servant within Vedic Dharma. Similarly, the Supreme Lord should be satisfied. Although the tendency to become the creator and the tendency to enjoy the material world are there also in the living entities, because these tendencies are there in the Supreme Lord who has created the manifested cosmic world. We shall find therefore in this Bhagavad Gita that the complete whole is comprised of the Supreme Controller, the controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, eternal time and karma or activities, and all of these are explained in this text. All of these taken completely form the complete whole, and the complete whole is called the Supreme Absolute Truth. The complete whole and the complete absolute truth are the complete personality of God of Shri Krishna. All manifestations are due to His different energies. He is the complete whole. It is also explained in the Gita that impersonal Brahman is also subordinate to the complete Supreme Person. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahman is more explicitly explained in the Brahma Sutra to be like the rays of the sunshine. This is an editorial mistake. It's meant to be Brahma Samhita. In the Vedanta Sutra, there is no description of the living entities like the rays of the sunshine, and that too explicitly it's not brought out there at all. This is Brahma Samhita. The impersonal Brahman is the shining rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is incomplete realization of the absolute whole, and so also is the conception of Paramatma. In the 15th chapter, it shall be seen that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Purushottama is above both impersonal Brahman and the partial realization of Paramatma. This is according to the explanation given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This explanation is not brought out by Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita as it is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Sachidananda Vigraha. The Brahma Samhita begins in this way. Ishwara.
The 15th chapter is said, we are saying Bhagavad Gita only.
No. Where does it explain Purushottama is about Paramatma and impersonal Brahman in the 15th chapter?
Purushottama explains.
Where is it brought out in the text?
15, 16 to 19.
Where does it? Where?
Tattvasara.
Tattva Sara, where does he say?
What is Tattva Sara say?
Krishna Prabhupada
is
saying, or what? What are you talking about?
You have Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Bhagavad Gita commentary here? No, I have it right here. Why am I looking so much?
No, that is the whole thing, right? See, he says it is above. Krishna Balayaji Bhushan very clearly explains.
You don't understand the point. Here, look.
What is the point you mean?
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, his introduction to chapter 15. Okay.
No, then Prabhupada Krishna himself says, right?
Wait.
Uttama Purushatvanya.
Wait. The second to last verse of the last chapter stated that by Bhakti Yoga one attains the status of Brahman. Nam cha yoga vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samadityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Okay. This statement, which functions as a sutra, forms the beginning of chapter 15. You said that the devotee surpassing the gunas, sagunan samatitya, attains the status of Brahman. What is this material world made of the gunas? Where did the thread begin? Who is that jiva who surpasses samsara by devotion to you? You also spoke of the jiva being qualified for Brahman, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. What is that Brahman? And who are you, the basis of the Brahman? So direct connection with that impersonal Brahman. Okay. And then Lord Krishna starts explaining. This is how he explains text 16. Dvavimau purusha loke ksharashakshara evacha ksharasvara sarvani bhutani kutastokshara uchyate. Because I am the knower of the Vedas, I will speak in brief the essential meaning of all the Vedas in three verses. Please listen. In the material universe made of 14 worlds loke, there are these two conscious beings, Imau Dvau Purushau. He then describes who they are in brief. One is the Jiva called Kshara, because he is in a deviated, Kshara means to fall, condition from his Swarupa or true nature. The other is Brahman called Akshara, which does not deviate from its Swarupa. The Shruti says, Etad Vaitad Aksharam Gargi Brahmana Abhivadanti. The knowers of Brahman knows this as Akshara, O Gargi. From Bhradaranyaka. The Smriti says Aksharam Brahma Paramam, Bhagavad Gita itself. The Akshara is the Supreme Brahman. From these quotations it is seen that the word Akshara means Brahman. Now the Lord makes clear the meaning of these two words. All the living entities are one aggregate Jiva, Sarvani Ksharaha. The collective Jiva, fallen from his Swarupa by beginningless ignorance and subject to karma, becomes a variety of living entities up to the moving entities like Lord Brahma. The singular number of Kshara is used to express a class. The second consciousness, Akshara, is situated for all of time in one Swarupa which does not fall. Amarakosha, standard dictionary, says that is Kutastha, which is situated over all time in one form. Uttama Purushastvanya Paramatmeti Udakrita Yoloka Trayam Avishya Vivarti Avyaya Ishvara. Having just spoken about the impersonal Brahman which the Jnanis worship, the Lord now speaks about the Paramatma which the Yogis worship. The word too indicates a distinction from what was previously spoken. As the Yogi is a different worshipper than the Jnani, the object worship will also be different. The Lord shows the nature of Paramatma. Paramatma is he who, though having the nature of commanding Ishvara and being unchanging Avyaya, enters into the three worlds completely and supports and protects it, Vibharti. Yasma Ksharamati Toham Aksharada Pichottama Atosmiloke Vedecha Pratita Purushottama. Having spoken about the object of worship of the yogis, Paramatma, the Lord now speaks about the object of worship of the devotees, Bhagavan. Though he, in his form as Krishna, is Bhagavan himself, he denotes the supreme excellence of his own Swarupa as Krishna using the name Purushottama. He who is superior, Uttama, to the Paramatma, Purusha. I am superior to the Jiva, Ksharam. And I am superior to the Brahman, Akshara, and also to the unchanging person, Paramatma. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktat tamo mataha. From the difference in the worshipper, one can conclude that there is a difference in the worshipable object. The word cha in the verse also indicates that Krishna is superior even to the Lord of Vaikuntha and others. Because cha also means etc. This is understood from the words of Shuka. Ete cham shakala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Though this one Sachidananda form is called by the names Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, actually there is no difference at all between them. Swarupa dvaya abhavad, there is no duality in your form. That's a quotation from Bhagavatam. However, because of observing difference in the worshippers in terms of sadhana and the results, difference has been designated. That is to say, the sadhana respective of the jnani, yogi and bhakta produces realization of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The result of jnana and yoga is mere liberation, and the result of bhakti is to become an associate of the Lord with prema. Also, without bhakti, the jnani and yogi do not even attain liberation. And then he gives scriptural evidences. And then he says, the worshippers of Brahman and Paramatma must necessarily perform bhakti to Bhagavan in order to achieve the final results of their sadhana. The worshippers of Bhagavan, however, do not perform worship of Brahman or Paramatma to achieve the results of their sadhana. And then he gives evidence for that. Therefore, by worship of Bhagavan, it is possible to attain all the results, material enjoyment, liberation and prema. But by worship of Brahman and Paramatma alone, it is not possible to attain enjoyment, liberation or prema. Therefore, it is said that Bhagavan is in a superior position even though he is not different from Brahman and Paramatma. It is just as the huge fire is considered superior among a small light, a lamp and a huge fire, because of its superior ability to alleviate the pain of cold, even though all the items are essentially the same energy. This example is from Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami. However, among the forms of Bhagavan, Krishna is considered to be the supreme attractive, just as the sun is considered superior to the huge fire. Why? Because Krishna alone gave Nirvana Moksha, the final fruit of worship of Brahman, even to his enemies such as Agha, Bakha and Jarasandha, who were most sinful. This verse has been explained according to Sridhar Swami's commentary on the verse Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Okay, this is what Prabhupada is referring to here. In the 15th chapter, it shall be seen that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Purushottama is above both impersonal Brahman and the partial realization of Paramatma.
Okay.
Whereas Prabhupada does not present this. Prabhupada has translated Akshara differently. Akshara is referring to the liberated souls.
Yes.
He has followed Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Baladeva Vidyabhushan does not use this to present that Purushottama is superior to Paramatma.
Yes, he does. Check.
No.
He does.
Not there.
But what I remember, he does this also. Check.
Look.
He does this also. He does both.
No, he does not. Look, 15th chapter. We'll open it. द्वाविमौ पुरुषौ लोके क्षरश्चाक्षरैव च क्षरः सर्वाणि भूतानि कूटस्थोक्षर उच्यते. द लॉर्ड नाउ समराइजेस द मीनिंग ऑफ द वेदस एज डिफाइंड बाय बादरायण. द मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्ड लोक इज दैट बाय विच ट्रूथ इज परसीव्ड लोक्यते. द श्लोक मीन्स वेद. In the Vedas, two types of men, Purusha, are celebrated, Pratitho, or confirmed. Who are they? One is destructible, Kshara, going through many changes because of having a destructible body. He is bound up because of mixing with the material world. The other is situated in a single condition because of not having a destructible body, Akshara. He is liberated because of having no connection with the material world. The two are further described. The destructible refers to all the beings from Brahma to the immovable being, Sarva Bhutani. The indestructible is always in one state, kutastha, ever liberated. The delineation of a whole group of jivas by the singular case can be inferred in this verse because of previous statements such as bahavo jnana tapasa and idam jnana upashritya. Therefore, such liberated souls are mentioned in the plural form. So, the conditioned souls are one category, kshara. Liberated souls are second category, akshara. Uttama purushastvanya paramatmeti udahrita yolokatrayam avishya vibhakti avyaya ishvara. The reason the two were delineated is now described in this verse. There is another anya person who is different in conception from the two types mentioned. He is described according to the scriptures as paramatma iti udahrita. The quality which makes him supreme uttama is then described. As a controller, he enters the three worlds and supports everything. the position of supporting and protecting the universe cannot refer to the conditioned jiva because he cannot perform such actions. It cannot refer to the liberated jiva because he is devoid of interaction with the world. Okay. So now we have three categories: the conditioned soul, the conditioned souls, liberated souls, Paramatma. And then, yasma ksharamati toham aksharad apichottama atosmi loke vedecha pratita purushottamaha. Explaining the name Purushottama, the Lord speaks of his own true nature. Uttama here means most excellent. Loke here refers to the scriptures written by men, Smriti. Loka means that which reveals the meaning of the Vedas. He is praised in the Smriti, Loke and the Vedas. And then he gives an evidence for that. That supreme light attained by mercy is Paramatma. That's all. Where is he indicated he is superior to Paramatma? He is the Paramatma, that's all. So the distinction between Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan is brought out in the 15th chapter only in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary.
You are saying this just for the sake of
who?
It's not an actual difference, right? It's one entity. He says that also.
You can say the impersonal. What this means is impersonal Brahman realization is inferior to Paramatma realization, which is inferior to Bhagavan realization. That's what it means. But that point is only brought out by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It's not brought out by Baladev Vidyavaya, and certainly it is not found in 15th chapter of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita commentary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Sachidananda Vigraha. The Brahma Samhita begins in this way: Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Govinda, Krishna, is the cause of all causes. He is the primal cause and he is the very form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Impersonal Brahman realization is the realization of a Sat eternity feature. Paramatma realization is the realization of Sat Chit eternal knowledge. But realization of the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is realization of all the transcendental features, Satchit and Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss and complete vigraha form. People with less intelligence consider the Supreme Truth to be impersonal, but he is a transcendental person, and this is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Katha Upanishad. So he is a transcendental person, and that he is a transcendental person is confirmed in all Vedic literatures. As we are all individual living beings and have our individuality, the Supreme Absolute Truth is also, in the ultimate issue, a person. And realization of the Personality of Godhead is realization of all of the transcendental features in his complete form. The complete whole is not formless. If he is formless, or if he is less than any other thing, then he cannot be the complete whole. The complete whole must have everything within our experience and beyond our experience, otherwise it cannot be complete. The complete whole Personality of Godhead has immense potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. How Krishna is acting in different potencies is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. This phenomenal world or material world in which we are placed is also complete in itself because of the 24 elements of which this material universe is a temporary manifestation according to Sankhya philosophy, are completely adjusted to produce complete resources which are necessary for the maintenance and subsistence of this universe. There is nothing extraneous, nor is there anything needed. So the idea is that each Brahmanda has everything required for its own
subsistence,
self-sufficiency. This manifestation has its own time fixed by the energy of the Supreme Whole, and when his time is complete, these temporary manifestations will be annihilated by the complete arrangement of the complete. There is complete facility for the small complete units.
What do you mean small complete units?
The living entities.
Well, how are they complete units?
They are actually, by the Lord's will, capable of sustaining themselves without Prakriti. Prakriti requires jivas. The jivas do not require Prakriti. But they require the Lord, and therefore they are small. So he is the big complete unit and the living entities are the small complete units. there is complete facility.
Facility, where is this complete facility? In the material world?
Yeah, yeah. Krishna provides it through the scriptures. First canto, 10th chapter. In the statements by the Hastinapur ladies, it comes. There is complete facility for the small complete units, namely the living entities, to realize.
So what happened when Krishna has given the scriptures? Okay.
And all sorts of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. So Bhagavad Gita contains the complete knowledge of Vedic wisdom. All Vedic knowledge is infallible, and Hindus accept Vedic knowledge to be complete and infallible. Now obviously the previous paragraph, all these statements are a paraphrase of the invocation.
Okay.
So there, both in his translation there and here, he has the word Purnam in mind when he is speaking of complete.
But Narayana just said that they have a different interpretation of that. Ishavashyam first of all, so they don't accept material one is complete. Ravindra Shukla explains it in one picture.
No, Baladeva Vidyabhushan has explained that Purnam Adah Purnamidam in his Govinda Bhashya as referring to the Lord's expansive forms, the different forms of expansion. Purnam Adah Purnamidam, this source is complete, the expansions are complete, and so on. So they might be taking that. But you cannot deny that this interpretation is wrong, provided you understand it the way Prabhupada is presenting. The material universe is complete in this particular sense. It is not complete like the spiritual world. You have to allocate restricted meaning to it, and then it becomes acceptable.
In what sense is it not complete? What
it is not complete like the spiritual world.
What are you saying there?
In spiritual world, whatever you want happens, no?
Is that a definition of complete?
Purnam?
Is that a part of it? I mean, can you call that Purnam?
If you say the Supreme Lord is perfect, what is the meaning of the statement, the Supreme Lord is perfect?
Here in the sense complete, whatever is needed for a substance is there.
That is the meaning that Prabhupada has imparted to him, which is acceptable. The word Purna can mean that. But the word Purna can also mean infinite in the context of Brahman. The Brahman of the Upanishads, he is infinite. The Brahman of the Upanishads is actually Paramatma. He is infinite. Both ways, smallest of the small, largest of the large.
When he says smallest of the small, how is that infinite?
Infinitesimal, infinitely small, infinitely large. Inconceivable both ways.
Material nature is always limited, right?
Material nature is always limited, yes.
No, in that sense, of course, Prabhupada is saying what is required for its sustenance.
Prabhupada has given a clear explanation of his own translation. It fits with the teachings of Bhagavatam. It doesn't go against the teachings of Bhagavatam in any manner.
No, but this is Prabhupada's unique contribution.
Yeah.
Nobody is a charity.
First of all, this verse is not commented by anyone. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Who's
the translation? This is an edition with Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. But Baladeva Vidyabhushan does not comment on it, because it's an invocation, it is not part of the Isha Upanishad. This comes in front of many Upanishads actually. It's not only Ishopanishad. It's not a part of Ishopanishad. Here also it comes. There's an edition published in 1930. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur printed it. Purna Madha Purnamidam Purna Purna Mujat Shate Purnasya Purna Madhaya Purnameva Shishate. But there's no commentary to that. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave word meanings, but he did not give word meaning for that. Bhakti Vinod Thakur did not translate it. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan does not comment it. Madhvacharya did not comment it.
Then Govinda Bhashya, there is a commentary.
In Govinda Bhashya, he brings it. I think so.
This verse.
Yeah. Swapyaya. Swapyat. The creator is not material Brahman because he merges into himself. So we find in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Purnamadah Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Little meaning of the above verse is this. Adas, adah, that refers to the original form, the unmanifested. Idam, this refers to the manifested form. Both these forms are infinite. The manifested form of God shown in his incarnations and when he acts as in rasa, means rasa lila, etc., comes out of the unmanifested original form which is called purna or infinite. The word udachyate means becomes manifest. By taking away from that infinite original form, the manifested form, that is, by merging this manifested form into the unmanifested original form, the remainder is that original form which remains unmerged.
What is saying there are two forms, huh? Manifested form and original form?
Like in the Rasa dance, this etc. he himself has commented means like in his marrying his queens. Now every day when Krishna would go to the court.
Expansions is the reference.
Expansions, they merge back all into one Krishna and one Krishna goes to that Sudharma assembly hall. So like with the Rasa Leela, one Krishna went and one Krishna became many Krishnas and they all danced and then again they merged into one Krishna.
So that is the sense of using the Purnamada. I mean Purnam.
But this meaning is more relevant to the Upanishads. This mantra is found in the Upanishads. So this particular meaning in the context of Ishopanishad is not wrong. Ishopanishad is more or less dealing with the same topics as Bhagavad Gita is dealing. That even some other Vaishnava commentators have indicated. Ishopanishad is teaching how to engage in karma in such a manner that you please the Supreme Lord with consciousness of the Supreme Lord and get out of material existence. Which is also the theme of many verses of Bhagavad Gita. So therefore it is not out of place to provide such a translation and such an explanation. So far he has explained Tattva.
Because he is saying that there is nothing extraneous needed, Nor is it something extraneous.
There is nothing extraneous, nor is there anything needed.
There is nothing extra, nor there is anything lacking. That's what he's trying to say.
Each Brahmanda is complete. Each planet may not be, each domain of habitation of a group of living entities may not be complete. And therefore you have to pray to the demigods for rain and so on. But overall, there is no situation where inside the universe something is lacking, you have to borrow it from some other universe. Each universe is complete.
Nor is there something which is useless for the universe. No, but then I'll put an argument that for a particular jiva, this environment may not be sufficient, so he may be sent to some other brahmanda. So in that sense, this brahmanda and that brahmanda, relatively, all the brahmandas are not identical, no?
They are not identical, but each of them is self-sufficient. For material purposes.
Yeah, it is not referring in the sense that everything is material is there. It's not directly material. Whatever is there is good enough.
Whatever is there is required for the living entities who reside there. Universe A, okay, has everything that is required for bhukti and mukti of living entities in Universe A. From prayers by personified Vedas chapter, we understand the Lord created for two purposes, for bhukti and for mukti. Those who are intelligent will use the material world to get out of material world. The others will try to enjoy within material world. Only two purposes. So it fulfills that purpose. Every Brahmanda has everything required for the living entities there.
But living entity may desire some enjoyment which may be available to some other Brahmanda.
I haven't come across this. Like what if he wants to become a 16-faced Brahma?
Yeah.
Then he has to be put in some other universe.
I don't think it is referring to current desires. It is referring to, not referring to, what do you call the sanchit karma? What do you call that karma which is created now?
Kriyamana karma.
Yeah, it is not referring to that. It's referring only until prarabdha karma, that's it. Or referring to only prarabdha karma. Whatever is required for the jiva.
See, required is one thing, fulfilling desires is something else. Even if I want to become that, even if I do want to become that, I have to engage in pious activities and accumulate pious credits. And everything is there in this universe in order to accumulate that pious credit, that's all. You may not, it's just like it is said, Bharata Varsha is best for pious credits. Okay, for two purposes. Vishnu Purana says both for those who want excessive material happiness or those who want liberation. Okay, Bharata Varsha may not be the heavenly planets, but it contains everything that is required by which you can go to heavenly planets.
Yeah. The sense is very complete. Even if you want to go to Ananta Brahmanda.
I haven't heard of.
You're talking in principle. Because people don't even know how many Brahmandas are there.
Crores of Brahmandas. Crores of Brahmandas.
So you don't even know what kind of desires they can achieve within this Brahmanda sometimes.
It's better they don't know.
Okay, that sense is complete. Whatever needed is there. Whatever is desired may not be there.
Whatever is desired may not be there. But whatever is needed to achieve, but of course, you know, it's like, what if people want some strange combinations, you know? No, but it is not, in, what if someone desires the impossible?
They become God, that is
impossible. Some, there are so many impossibilities.
No, but materially, whatever anything
that they know. Why? Like Trishanku wanted to go to heavenly planets in this very body. It's impossible. It is demoniac to desire that which is against the established order of the Lord.
So you can say whatever is achievable, for that it is.
Yes.
But whatever is desirable.
Whatever is achievable.
What? Everything needed is there for whatever is achievable.
Yes.
The achievable may not be in this planet, maybe in some other planet, some other universe. But whatever is.
See, whatever is achievable can become desirable, but whatever is desirable cannot necessarily be achievable. These things are available in the shop. You cannot say that the shop should have something that I want. Okay, we'll stop with this. Next Monday we'll continue with this. He has dealt with the tattva. Now he is going to deal with pramana. And then he will deal with sadhya and he will deal with sadhana. So the introduction has, it deals with who is eligible. It deals with tattva, pramana, sadhya, sadhana. Everything is put out by Prabhupada here. And the glory of Bhagavad Gita is also brought out.